So if you take your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 16. What we do is we open up tonight with asking the question, all right, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What role does the Holy Spirit play in that of us understanding what God's Word says, being able to grasp God's Word, to be able to take hold of God's Word? And what I wanted to do today, before we get started, I wanted to read from that of what Jesus would say would be the role of the Spirit. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? And when you see this, you start in verse 5 and it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." This is Jesus speaking. We're in John chapter 16. "And none of you asketh me whether thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin." Who will? The Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, "and the righteous, and of the righteousness and of the judgment, and of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Notice his verbiage. "Howbeit, although," all right, that's a good way to say it. "Although, howbeit, when he," the Spirit of truth, that's what you want to focus on, John 16, verse 13. "Although, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will," there's the assurance, "he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. He shall glorify me," pointing to the Father. Be very careful in things that just focus on the Spirit. The Spirit of God always is pointing to the Father. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show unto you, show it unto you. A little while, and yet shall not see me again, and again, and a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father." So he's speaking of that, of the role of the Spirit, and what the Spirit's role is in that of relating to us or showing to us the things of God's Word. And the very first thing that we need to see here is we need to understand and we need to not forget that he is going to guide us into all truth. All right. So in order to guide us into all truth, there's always a part in which ourselves plays. All right. You'll see later on. Listen, and I've had to grapple with one comment. So when I say this, I'm going to say it very slow and I'll say it very clear. And I may even repeat it like three times. What we need to understand is that his role, he is to guide, one of his roles is to guide us into all truth, but not to forget that the Spirit was and is the divine author. It is the Spirit of God that moved among men. That's what 1 Peter would tell us. Moved, or 2 Peter, moved among men, all right? And then those men would have penned what it was that the Spirit of God would have called. And so we're going to look at some words. One word would be this, the word inspiration. Inspiration, it's the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of the human authors of Scripture with the result that they wrote what God wanted to communicate. That is, now listen, I looked up a lot of definitions for this word, all right? And when you look at this word, I tried to bring it down as much as I could to where it would fit on the PowerPoint. I want us to look at just a couple things. When you hear of the word inspiration, we can't get that mixed up with the word illumination, all right? You've got inspiration, you have illumination, but both inspiration and illumination, they go together, all right? And so he says, I'll read it again, "The Holy Spirit worked in the lives of human authors." That's the 40 plus authors that we have of that of our Old and that of our New Testament, all right? And it's the human authors of Scripture with the result that they wrote what God, the Father, what God wanted them to communicate. Nothing less, nothing more. So therefore, as our Scripture was tell us, then therefore the Scripture that you and I have laying before us, it is God-breathed. And we've heard that before if we've been in church any time whatsoever. But to understand it would mean that as we say that, it's one thing to say it, it's quite another to grasp it, all right? Just to pause for a minute and realize that as you and I really do, as we open up this book, It is God that is speaking to us. And as we approach this book, how do we approach this book? And we'll see that at the latter part of this study. How do we approach this book? How should we approach this book? And so we see then that the scripture is God-breathed. Then you get the word, so you have the word inspiration, but then you have the word illumination. And this is, it says, referred to this as an ongoing work of the Spirit. Now hang on a minute. Careful though. Be very careful. It doesn't mean, and like I was telling you, it doesn't mean that you have, there's a continual illuminating and inspiring of people. So that's where you have the people saying, we need a new revelation from God, all right? You need to be very careful when you hear people have, and as you're reading from people, as you're reading commentaries from people, as maybe you've got a podcast that you're listening to, don't let your mind just go numb, all right? Be listening to the words that they use. And as you hear these words that they're using, We are not in need of any new revelation, all right? The canon has been closed. The scripture's been closed. God says, Jesus says, the Spirit of God says, add nothing to it. Don't take anything from it. You and I have all that we need in order to do what is needed for us within our walk. And so therefore, you have this word illumination. Inspiration and illumination must never be against one another, though. Now let me explain that to you. Because the Word of God is inspired, God breathed, okay? Then therefore, as the Spirit of God is illuminating things to you through your studies, it should never contradict one another. It should always be of the same. The Spirit of God is not going to contradict itself. I guess that's a better way to say it. So therefore, as we are leaning on the Spirit, and remember verse 13 of chapter 16 of John, he says, howbeit, when he... The Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. Not contradicting. It's going to be something that will be of both and, all right? It's going to be continual. I wanted to read this to you. He says this. He says, the Spirit does not add new meaning to the biblical text. Instead, he helps us, the believers, to understand and apply the meaning that is already there. And I like the way that he worded that. I underlined this, and I even wrote the word huge, all right? Huge. All right? The Spirit does not add new meaning to the biblical text. He doesn't do that. He helps us, the believer, to understand and apply the meaning that is, it's already there. Remember, I told you, it says that the Word of God, that the depths of the Word of God is greater than you and I will ever plumb. All right? We can dig and we can dig and we can dig and we can dig. And there's always more to be seen. There's always more to see. And that is, but that shouldn't cause us to go, okay, well, I give up. No, we wouldn't do that. I don't know how many of y'all enjoy watching, I like watching just random stuff, okay? I watch a lot of Bible teaching. I watch a lot of different things that I'm trying to stay on task with. But there's some days that me and Mia, we like just to sit down and watch this dude named Nugget Noggin, all right? And Nugget Noggin, and he's a believer, all right? Nugget Noggin, I think he's out of Charlotte. He does metal detecting, all right? And I love to watch this dude. And as he begins to dig in a hole, all right, now, he's already got it dug this deep. He might pull out, he's got his pinpointer, and he might pull out an 1875 coin. And as he pulls it out, me and Mia's like, that's cool, Daddy. I'm like, I know, all right, that's cool. All right, and then he'll put his pointer down there, and then he's like, wait a minute, there's more. He doesn't take and go, ah, it's okay, I'm done. And he just covers the hole back up. No. He continues to dig. He continues to work. Because of why? Well, because there's more precious things in there. There's something else. And you ready when he pulls it out? It's a pull tab. And you're like, man, that's not much. But it was still something that was of a treasure. That was something. And so when you and I are digging into the Word of God, we need to see the Word of God in that fashion. And that is that we'll never plumb the depths of it. It should never get old to us. Right? And so he says this. He says, the Spirit's role is not to author a new Bible, but to bring home to us the meaning of the Scripture that He has already authored. All right. So therefore, the Spirit of God. So for instance, at your home, if you have a book by the author of Sarah Young, all right, that would be a book that I would throw away. All right. Because Sarah Young would have wrote a book to where she would teach you how to sit down, and she would teach you how to get a new revelation from God. And so you would sit down with a blank piece of paper and you would begin to write. It was a number one seller in Walmart, right? And you would begin to write, and you would just write whatever it is that you freed your mind to write with. And then, you ready? And that was a new revelation from God. Y'all, that's bad. But our churches, listen, our churches even use that book, okay, to teach like discipleship classes. So I'm telling you, we've got to be careful with this kind of stuff to understand. No, wait a minute. No. That's not true. That's not what the Spirit did. All right. So we see then not only that, then we must beg the question, all right? And the question would be this. Then as we look at the Scriptures, what role does the Holy Spirit play in that of that of the people that are without the Spirit? I've heard it asked many a times. Someone that's not saved, can they understand God's Word? Can a lost person understand, and can they learn the Word of God? And I will tell you, there's three answers that we have for that. And I like the way the authors handled that, and the fact that this, you ready? Number one, I would have immediately said no. No way, right? But that would have been out of me just saying no, because they're lost and they can't understand the depths of God's Word. But there is a yes there, all right? And there is a yes to some degree. The first yes would bring us to the point of this. If unbelievers use valid interpretive methods, they are able to comprehend much of the Bible. Just think about that for a second. We have a lot of people in our churches today. They have a good knowledge of God's Word, but they're probably lost as lost can be, okay? Because you and I, we all know that you can be a very smart individual. You can take the study methods that we've been talking about, and you can have a good round knowledge of that of the Word of God. I used to work with a guy. This is when I first came out of, not that, what, see, y'all thought I was going to say that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's when I first moved out of Boomer, all right? And when I moved out of Boomer, I moved, and listen, in church all my life. I did all kinds of vacation Bible schools. I did all kinds of Bible drills. I was a student of the Word. No, I wasn't. I was a lazy mug. And what happened was, is when I got to Raleigh and I began to work with this gentleman that was, he went to a Catholic school, man, I realized real quick, y'all, at the age of 22, 23 years old, I was ignorant of the Word. All right. This dude that had went to a Catholic school all his life, he was lost. All right. He would tell me he's lost. Man, we'd listen to some rock and music. All right. He was lost as lost can be. And in that, he had more knowledge of God's Word than I had of God's Word. And then I began to be really convicted about that, because I'm thinking to myself, this dude's lost. He knows more about the book than I know about the book. And then, you ready? And then that had an impact on my witness, because now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't think I want to talk to. And so you and I, we need to understand that, yes, all right, I do believe I was saved when I was 14, though. I have no doubt about that. Please don't go down that path with me. But I do believe that, yes, an unbeliever can read the Word of God. They can use the interpretation skills that is there, and they can have an understanding. They can comprehend much of the Bible. At a level of cognitive understanding, the Spirit appears to play a minimal role, all right? I do believe the Spirit of God, according to that of Scriptures, according to that of what Pastor Chris and I would believe as well, I do believe the Spirit of God draws all men. I do believe that man is saved not through that of the general revelation of God's Word, but he's saved through the specific revelation of God's Word, all right? That means that God draws all men. All men realize there's something greater than them. Hey, did y'all see the moon yesterday morning? That was amazing. I was like, how big is that thing? That thing was huge for us that got up early. You know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, the early bird did not catch the worm. And so in that, what I realized real quick is that as we looked at this, we had to come to an understanding that the Spirit of God, he does draw through his Word, all right? And it's a great thing for man to read his Word. But can a lost person understand it? Yes, they can, to a certain point, okay? I remember the story, which, again, this guy is lost, would be Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh, is that his name? Matt Walsh, the Mormon? Yeah, Matt. Anyway, he was the Mormon that came out and said that he read through the Book of John multiple times, came out of the Mormon movement. And as he came out of the Mormon movement, he would say it was through the reading of God's Word over and over and over that he came to realize. And it was a Baptist preacher that challenged him to that, because he came to witness to this Baptist preacher. And so, listen, while he may not have got saved, all right, I do believe that is how the Word of God would work. And that is it's through the power of his Word. The Word of God does save man. All right. So we got a yes, but we also have a yes, but only to a degree. And remember, we're talking about unbelievers. We're talking about those that are lost, those that are unsaved. Yes, they understand to a degree. Sin has had an effect on the whole person. We can't forget that, including that of the human mind. Sin has had a great impact. And so what we have to realize is that as a lost person, according to 2 Corinthians, and I'll go there and I'll turn real quick, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, you and I need to understand that it's the God of this world, the little G-O-D, that has blinded the eyes of those that are unbelievers. Listen to what it says. You ready? And I'll start in verse 1 just so you can get there if you want to get there by the time I get to verse 4. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and he says this in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." What's the ministry? What's sharing the truth? "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Love that verse. You can go over to Romans and read more about that. "But if our gospel be hid," now watch this, "but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now watch why. This is huge. "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So that's why we would tell you, that's why I would tell you, that's why many people would tell you that after 7 knocks on the door, all right, that is then when their family, you know, God saved that family. After many times of sharing the gospel, someone finally said, "Yes, I see what you're saying." Because you and I, we have to continue to share. Why? Well, because they're blind. Their minds have been blinded. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. They're the children of disobedience. They're lost. They're being guided by the prince of this world, the little G-O-D. Satan. They are Satan's children, born that way. And what we have to realize is and therefore, as that being said, the unbeliever's ability to understand the meaning is limited by the effects of the unbelieving pre-understanding that they bring to the text. "Judge not lest you be judged." Okay, well, there you go. See, I was done. Or if you watch many videos, the abolitionists, where they're out against abortions, and these people are just holding a sign, and you have these people that just walk by and call them scum of the earth, use foul language, and tell them, "I don't want to talk to you." But yet he's just standing here saying, "I didn't say anything to you. I don't care. It was just the scripture that was all that had to be said." The closed-mindedness to it, the pre-understanding that they bring to the text. God's Word is terrible. That's why we do table talk on our campuses. That's why I love to open up God's Word and take a classroom setting of kids, of any kid that wants to ask any question. Y'all, at West Iredell Middle School, around right before COVID, we were having 150 kids every Tuesday that would sit in with us, and they would ask question after question after question. "What does God's Word say about this? What does God's Word say about that? What does God's Word say about this?" And it would be questions such as, "What does God's Word say about homosexuality? What does God's Word say about divorce? What does God's Word say about Adam and Eve? And is it real? What does God's Word say about Noah? What does God's Word, why do you keep saying that your Bible is the only Bible? Why is my Bible the Quran? Why is it not true?" And so we would have those open discussions. Why? Well, because they have a pre-understanding. They're lost. And they've been told one thing. They've been raised one way. And listen, when you reveal and open up the truth of God's Word, it becomes sometimes very, it's not taken well at all. And so we see that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We've already read that one. "But without the Spirit, only to a degree, understanding involves mind, emotions, body, and etc. So therefore, you and I, we need to understand that these lost people, because they do not have the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God that begins to change the mind of an individual. It's the Spirit of God that begins to change the emotions of the individual. It's the Spirit of God that begins to change the body, and so on and so forth. Because the Spirit of God resides in us. Remember, we are a new creature. We're not like the old self anymore. We're new creatures. And so therefore, as new creatures, we ought to be thinking differently. We ought to be doing differently. Our emotions ought to be governed by the Word of God, not by whatever Oprah tells us. I don't know, whoever you watch, all right? So we see then that as a lost person, there is the possibilities for that to be able to be done. And then lastly, they would say when it comes to a lost person, the answer would just be a plain no. Because without the Spirit, people cannot accept and apply the truths to God's Word. They just can't as a lost person. And here's another question as you answer this. You ready? As I was riding down the road trying to wrap my mind around this one, okay? What does lost people do good? I mean, there's lost people that do good things, okay? And so therefore, there is lost people that would say murder's wrong, stealing's wrong, all right? So I'm not talking about those things. What I'm talking about would be the things that are of God, all right? Like the fruit of the Spirit. There's impossible for you and I to love unconditionally unless we have the Spirit of God living through us in order to enable us to love people even when they're unlovable, y'all. Okay, remember, that's what Christ did for you. He loved you when you were unlovable. He loved you before you were anything of any good. All right, and we're still not good. Read 1 Corinthians. Ready? Well, let's go there because I'm pretty close. It's a good passage of Scripture. Paul's really dealing with a lot of what he's dealing with, what Pastor Chris preached on today, what I preached on last Sunday, and that is that you're still talking, because he goes into chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and he talks about the milk and the meat, the milk and the meat. All right? Listen what he says here, all right? And we'll start in verse, I want to start in verse 13, if that's okay. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And that's why I wanted to get 13. I didn't have that on there. He says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's what God's Word says. All right, so please know that's what God's Word says, for they are foolishness unto them. All right, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Remember, I told you last Sunday, all right, a babe in Christ, you're not able to discern good and bad. But as a mature believer, someone that's growing in your faith, then you are able to discern the spiritual things. You're able to be someone that pauses and says, wait a minute, what does the Word of God say about that? Or wait a minute, I know I did a study. This is what God's Word would have said about that. Instead of being just tossed about, as Ephesians would say. And so we see then that the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. All right? He does not receive those things. And so therefore, their three answers for the unbelievers would be, yes, they do somewhat to a certain degree, but ultimately it's no, not the spiritual things that are found there within God's Word. All right. Again, I am not saying, because I will tell you that I do believe that man is saved through the specific revelation of God through His Word. Now, let me tell you a story on that one that I believe to be true because I sat and heard the man tell me his testimony. His name is John Brom. All right, John Brom. Before I came to South River Baptist Church, I used to be a plant manager in Wilkesboro, and my boss he owned a part of a company in Charlotte, and it was down on Sugar Creek Parkway. Sugar Creek Parkway? I don't know, one of them. And so it was a bad place to go, y'all. I'm just telling you. My boss said, never stop in this area. And I said, yes, sir, got you. There was a gang there that yes, sir, I got you. But as I was there, I began to witness, or these two gentlemen began to love on me. And they were of the Montagnard, I'm not saying it right, Montagnard. There were the people that taught the American soldier how to fight jungle warfare in Vietnam, okay? And so this guy's dad would have been one that would have taught our American soldiers how to fight in the jungles. They're the Montagnard people. I'm still going to do my best. And so this guy named John, one day, number one, I was miserable there because I wasn't pastoring, because I'm a pastor, doggone it. So doggone it, I should be pastoring somewhere. And so that's pride, all right? And then one day, John brings me this bag, y'all. Now, I'm going to tell you what John's testimony is, but let me just tell you where my heart was in Charlotte, and it should have been different. And it was by the time I was done. I found two friends that I love dearly. And so John Brom, he brought me a grocery bag one day, and I opened it up, and I looked in it, and I'm like, what is that? And it's hanging in my office. You're welcome to see it. His wife had stitched me a Bible bag, all right? Now listen, y'all, that thing was ornate. It was so cool. So I looked at it, and I said, John, what is this? He says, my wife made it for you. That's how we treat our Bibles. He says, where we're from, the Bible's special. He says, we protect our Bibles. And he said, so this is made just for you. Okay. Well, now I'm crying, but I cried on the inside. I went and hid in the lumber hole. There was a hole where all the lumber goes. And I called Derek Hodges, a friend of mine. He was helping me get through that period of my life. And I'm like, Derek, this is not funny, you know? And then he's like, man, dude, that's awesome. They're loving on you. They see that you appreciate them and they're appreciating you. Hey, you just need to be thankful for this. So one day me and John, and Mook is the other guy's name, we're out on the back porch. All right. Not the back porch. It was a back dock where the trains used to come by, and they heated that building with a wood stove. Oh yeah, it was bad. And so as I was back there, I asked John, share your testimony with me. And John would begin to tell me a story about how in a dream one night that he had a dream about that of this man telling him that he was in need of him. And so he said, Scott, I got up. He says, I told my mom of my dream. My mom told me to go to the village over. There was a missionary there. And so he said, I went and told the missionary my dream. The missionary opened God's word, and the missionary read from God's word, and the missionary led John to that of salvation, okay, through his word. But it was a dream, general revelation, specific revelation. It would only be later that John would then one night have a dream. He would go and speak with the missionary. God called him to the ministry. John now is in Charlotte, a bivocational pastor for that group of people, the Montagnard people. Listen, bivocational, y'all, for a congregation that's 350 strong. Y'all, bivocational is like for 70, all right, 80. This man is a bivocational pastor, and he loves the Lord, y'all. It is so fun to hear. But what I wanted to just talk about is to say, listen, that general revelation, specific revelation. God reveals himself to all men, all right? That's Romans chapter 1. And it's through that of the specific revelation of God's word that man comes and he understands his need for a Savior, all right? So then we have to ask the question, then what does the Spirit of God do for the Christian? All right, we talked about the unbeliever. We talked about inspiration and illumination. So therefore, what does that look like for me and you? For me and you as the believer? And what the author does is the author goes through three, all right? Three of the Spirit does this and the Spirit doesn't do this. And so you and I need to understand, you ready? There's the do's and there's the does nots. And by doing that, what he says, first of all, when it comes to biblical interpretation, having the Holy Spirit does not mean that the Holy Spirit is all we need to interpret the text. Now, hang on a minute. Don't. I'm not a heretic yet. Okay, please don't do that to me. Because I have read this multiple times. I'm going, that just don't sound right at all. That is not going to go well. And hold on. But I'll tell you what I mean. The Spirit does not make valid interpretation automatic. It's not like osmosis. That's what I told the kids this morning. You don't just get to sit down with the Bible sitting in front of you and go, hey, bring it to me. Hey. That's not how it works. And I know that's silly, but you and I need to understand that while we do have the Spirit of God in us, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved. There's work in that. It's almost like, as the author would say it, it's like when we have our little kids. Man, I remember that. That time went by fast. But as you have your little kids, your little one would get up one day and they would begin to toddle and they would walk. And they would walk from one parent to the next, all right? But never did that kid, no way, because they trusted two things. Never did that kid ever just go, okay, I don't have to do anything. I can just walk to... No, you can't. He still had to stand up and he still had to walk from one parent to the next, from one parent to the next. And so when I say this, I'm not saying, no, the Spirit of God is all we need, y'all. What I'm saying is that you and I, we need to put some legwork to it. We've got to take the things that we've learned, all of these interpreting skills, these tools, all right, and allow the Spirit of God to, yes, reveal things to us through His Word. All right, that's what I'm saying. There's no microwave Christianity. Although we love our microwaves, I promise you it's not healthy at all. All right, we need to understand there's no special osmosis to that. The Spirit does expect, I love this, But the Spirit does expect us to use our minds, proper interpretive methods, and good study helps to interpret the Bible accurately. Now, hold on a second. Let me go the Baptist way, okay? What about the dude over underneath the tree in Ethiopia? You know, we're always worried about him. And that's where my mind went as well. Because you know what? He probably doesn't have the commentaries that he needs. He probably doesn't have the blue letter Bible like he should have. He probably doesn't have, okay, but listen, ready? But if he has the Word and he can read the Word, then he can study the Word. He can meditate upon the Word. The Word of God, if he has it, y'all, there's still people that don't have it, all right? But if he has it, it's very special. In some tribes, listen to me, that they just pass around one sheet. You get one sheet, all right? And we've got like 25 in my office. I don't know how many you have at your house. And we open those rarely. And so what happens is in this, he says, listen, but the Spirit does expect us to, he expects us to use our minds, all right? He does expect us to use methods to be able to study. Whatever method it is that you want to use, this and it, I don't use all of this method. I use another method as well. Number two, the Spirit does not create a new meaning or provide any new information. Now, that's where you've got to be careful. That's where you go to the 1 Peter passage, and he says, or 2 Peter passage, and he says, listen, there's nothing of private interpretation. God has already given all that needs to be given. What you and I need to understand is that he does, though, if we rely on the Spirit to help us grasp the meaning of God's Word. There's a difference there. Many people go to the Scriptures looking for something new, And they allow themselves not to take the proper methods. What they allow themselves to do is just begin to look at different words and be able to say, as we learned last week, they just make a word mean something that really doesn't mean that. All right. And so we have to be careful with that and not try to look for some new meaning or some new bit of information. All right. If something is revealed to you that's not ever been revealed to no one else, okay, you should be very careful with that, okay? It could be that you're Joseph Smith, all right? It could be that you're Charles Russell Taz, whatever his name is. It could be that's the Jehovah's Witness guy. It could be that you're Muhammad. It could be that you're, I don't know. I would tell you be careful with that, because I would believe, because of the Spirit of God, if he's the author of the book, then why would he be bringing anything new, anything of new information to us? So we have to be very, very leery. Number three, the Spirit does not change the Bible to suit our purposes or to match our circumstances, okay? Listen, there's nothing harder to tell a family, as I just shared with y'all at the beginning, for someone to be told they have cancer and then to let them know that, hey, listen, we serve a good Father. We have a good God. Y'all, define good, all right? And what we have to realize is that just because it's not good in the eyes of man, then if the Word of God says it's good, then therefore God's got a purpose, God's got a plan. He is a good Father. And either he's good or he's not. And listen, that's tough. So what we have to do is we can't change the Word to fit the circumstance. We can't go, well, you know what, there must be, I know what it is, you have sin in your life. That's why you're sick. If you'll just give us $1,000, then what we'll do, listen, God will bless you, and you will put that money towards the missions warehouse, and then therefore you then can be without sin. So if you'll send $1,000, now God will give you back $10,000. But right now, the reason why you have sickness in your life is because you've got sin somewhere. You've got unconfessed sin. Now hold on a minute. Let's be careful. I don't want to go too far down that path to say how silly or how that's bad, because I do know that in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says that people were taking the Lord's Supper in an unholy way, and it said that they had become sick. And so I would tell you that you better be very mindful of the situation which you're in. So therefore, it plays in both areas. Okay, but be careful. Don't allow the Word of God to be changed to suit your purpose or to match your circumstance. The Spirit brings the meaning of the Bible to bear on the reader. So as you and I are reading, it's the Spirit of God that gives us the meaning. This is what the meaning, this is. And that's why when we go back all the way to number one on our map, and that is that historical context, making sure that we start at the beginning, all right? Because what happens is if we go to the text and we're in one of those circumstances, or we're in one of those areas of our life to where life is miserable, and then we begin to search for a text that will meet our miserableness, then what happens? Now we've got issues, because we're gonna make the Word of God read to whatever we need to make the Word of God read to. I remember a time where we were in the midst of changing churches, okay, and it was miserable. It was tough. It was a very tough time. And it's just like many other things. You begin to pray, Lord, show me, Lord, show me, Lord, show me, Lord, you know, strike that tree, burn that empty barn down. I mean, you do all kinds of things. Me and John, we talked about that this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And it wasn't until one night, my bride, she was on the pregnancy care center board, and me and the girls, they were little. So I wasn't on the board. So we went and eat. And as we went to eat, me and the girls went home. The girls were in the bed, and my bride, she comes home and she takes my Bible. Right. And she just says, and she does this. She says, Ezekiel 33. And she just walks off. And I'm like, I did. I'm like, what in the world? But see, we've been praying. We've been seeking. We wanted to know, okay, how is it that we can move? How is it? Where do we find peace in God's Word? Because the Word of God would say this, all right, in Ezekiel 33, just in case you want to know. But he says, then whosoever heareth, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. Of thy people, and saying to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him as for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, the blood shall be upon his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh not warning shall deliver his soul. And I underlined that day. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, then the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I was a watchman. And I was blowing the trumpet. And so in this, I'm going, man, Lord, thank you for just, whew. But it was through the Word of God. It was me knowing, okay, wait a minute. I've done all that can be done. I'm not going to do anything else. Okay, and that's what I did. And when I did it, it wasn't second thought. It wasn't, nobody can talk me out of it. Because why? Well, because that's what the Word of God says. I found peace here. I didn't make it mean anything that it shouldn't have meant. I allowed the Word of God. I allowed the meaning of the Bible to bear upon that of the reader. It's what the Word of God said to me, not what can I make the Word of God say to me, right? And so in doing so, what happens is the author says, you know what? There's some very effective ways for you and I to go about reading God's Word. And that is that we can use this thing. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. Sorry. Let's go back. What did I do here? We did have chocolate cake today. I promise you, you've already got that. All right, don't even worry about it. All right. So then what happens is when we get over there, we then have to ask ourselves the question, what is a good way for you and I to read, all right, and that of to grow within that of reading God's Word? What's a good way to do that? Now, hold on. You ready? Everybody's got their own way. Please know, this is not the only way. All right, don't go down that path. But what I do want us to do is be mindful of, don't forget, what role did the Spirit of God have in us reading God's Word? And that is that it is the Spirit of God that is the author. It is the Spirit of God that moved among men. And so therefore, it should be the Spirit of God that reveals and shows to us what is there. So why would we not want to lean on the Spirit of God as we're reading the Word? Well, I do. That's why I would tell you that it would be best for you and I just to take our commentaries and kind of set them to the side, take our phones and set them to the side, and really just open up God's Word. open God's word and just pause for a moment. Because the author says that the first thing that you and I can do is we need to prepare ourselves to read the word. There's a preparation. And in that preparation, what that is there's that Greek word or Latin word there, silencio. I don't know. I asked Molly, can you read these for me, please? So she did, but then they do take Latin in Headwaters. But then it was like, so what do they mean? And she's like, well, I don't know. Read the definition there. And I'm like, okay, I can see that. I want to know what it meant, like a word. Silence, all right? Or hold on a second. Or a time to prepare your heart to hear from God by slowing down. How many of us slows down? Really, honestly, can I just be honest with you? It's rare for me just to be like, slow down. For me, normally, I'm listening to God's word as I'm driving down the road. I'm sitting there in my recliner. I've got God's word open. But we always have those distractions. We always have those things going on. Now, hold on, you ready? But there is those great moments when I get in that office and I shut that door. Whew, man, things, that's fun, all right? And I'm like, this is great. Because you just pause. I put my phone on airplane mode, all right? That's when I don't answer the phone, Shane. And I put it on airplane mode. Thank you. I appreciate that. I blame it on the spirit. Get settled into one place. My grandma had that place. My grandma had a place beside of an end table with a lamp. Her Bible always laid right there. Every morning I would get up, I would spend the night with them. My grandma would be there beside that end table. She had her place. Get settled into one place. Begin to quiet yourself before the Lord. As you cast your cares on Him, intentionally begin to let go of the hurry and the noise that often prevents us from listening to God. Remember, it's the Spirit that's the author of this book. It's not just a book, y'all. It's not just something that we handle frivolously. It's a book that is a letter. It's a word that's been written to you and to me so that we can do what? We can hide it in our heart so that we may not sin against God, so that we can use it as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so therefore, in doing so, as we approach that moment. Now, hold on, listen. I'm not saying that's every day. If you can do it every day, praise God. Some of us don't work as much as some in this room, and that's good. You should, man, just be thankful for that. That's good. But you ought to look for a time in the day to do it, though, because we do need to hear from God daily. So number one, we need to prepare. We need to just be silent, all right? Second one was lectio, all right? Reading. Select a passage of Scripture. Here's my encouragement to you is read a book. Read through a book at a time. Don't just randomly open God's word. You're not going to get anything from that. Be intentional in reading. And what I would tell you is that right now with Pastor Chris going through the book of Hebrews, why not be reading through the book of Hebrews? Why not be a student of that book? I heard one guy say that why not be a master of one than that of making a mess of many, I think, or something like that. And me, listen, I love the book of Ephesians. I can kind of walk through. I love the Ephesians. I love Philippians. I've read it a ton. I love the Proverbs. The Proverbs are great. You can read through those. The Psalms, you can read 5 Psalms a day, and you could read through the book of Psalms every month. I mean, there's 10 Psalms a day, 5 Psalms, 10, yeah, 10. Oh, man. It's on the 30. It's 5. I'm right. I'm good. 5 and 1. And so in doing so, what we do is we'll read, and it says, use your imagination to picture yourself as part of the setting. Listen, I still have an imagination, believe it or not, and it gets pretty crazy. Be careful with that. Resist the temptation to analyze or judge the text or to use the text to develop a message for someone else. It's you. You're reading God's word. Don't go to God's word and go, wow, that really would work well for Wesley. Wesley needs to hear from this. Or that would really work well with Josh. I'm so glad that Josh, you wait till I see Josh. I'm going to show. And John, man, John, this one, no, this is for you. This is it doesn't mean that you can't find that for someone else. Man, maybe you know someone is struggling. And as you come across that good passage of Scripture, then you take that time when you're done and you text them that and you share that with them. Listen, I was reading God's Word this morning. This is what I was reading. Hey, I really was pressed upon my heart. I think you need to see this. Focus on listening as if God were speaking to you directly. And I love that. If you want to hear God speak to you, then read God's word out loud. If you want to hear it audibly, all right, read it out loud. You're like, people think I'm weird. It's okay. You're weird. It's fine. I think it's great. Listen, let that word of God just speak to you. So not only that, but we also have that of the meditation. The time of reflecting. Read the passage again. You're like, wait a minute, I've done read it one time. Is that not enough? No, it really ain't. So that's why I would tell you, take small chunks. If you're a bad reader, me, just take small chunks. Don't be the one that felt like you need to lie, and I did when I was a kid. When it come time to, how many chapters did you read? Well, there was always a girl that read more than me. All right, so you know what I would do? I always wait. I'd get in line where I was after her. She'd be like, yeah, I read 35 chapters. You know, they used to put that on a board in your churches. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many chapters were read? How many brought your Bible? Yeah, that was cool stuff. I'm not sure why it was there, but very convicted. And so in that, because I lied, because then it would come to me and I'd be like, yeah, I read 79. And everybody's like, wow, that dude's a reader. I was a liar is what I was. All right. I was a liar. Just read it again. Listen, you don't feel pressure to be one that says I've read. Don't do that. As a particular word or phrase catches your attention, repeat it several times. Just stop and pause and read through it. Without trying to over-spiritualize, don't do that, y'all. Don't read the word water and go, wow, that's got to be it. No, that's Jesus. No, be careful with that stuff, okay? What I'm saying is as you're reading, you're taking that time, you're pausing, you're hearing what God has to say, and you're meditating on it. Joshua would say that. He says, meditate upon the word of God day and night. Chew on it. Chew on it like a cow chews on his cud. So if you did that in the morning, you read maybe just a paragraph that morning, then you know what? You're meditating on that all day long. Now, what better than that? I'd rather meditate on that of maybe 5-6 verses than to read, I don't know, a whole chapter and not even know what I read. So not only do we take a time of silence, then we begin to read. Man, be purposeful in your reading, though, y'all. Don't be those people that just open up the Word. That is so dangerous. Meditation, you want to meditate upon the Word, but then you want to be able to respond or to be able to speak, all right? Respond by praying the passage as you read it a third or fourth time. Okay, don't raise your hand. Have you ever prayed Scripture back to God? Yeah, it's interesting. I was in one small youth group setting one time, and we began to do that. And I wasn't doing it. I got to this point of teaching, and as I got to this point, I really was able to see, man, the impact that it had on me, all right, and that of the kids. I do that often. I think it's good to remind. Moses reminded God all the time. God, you these are your children. God, you brought them out. You made a promise. All right. It's not that we're doing that to go to bash God. No, I'm not there to change God's mind. I just think it's good for us to be able to say, hey, God, I know what your word says. I know the truths of your word. And so, Father, I'm praying and believing that your word is true. And so, God, would you act upon that of what your truth says? Enter into a conversation with God. Y'all, those are. And until you do it, those are weird. Honestly and truthfully talk with God about what seems to be saying to you through the passage. Now is the time to respond to God. How does the passage make you feel? Be careful with that. I'm not saying that don't go down the feeling path. I'm just asking you the question, as you read this passage of Scripture, how does this Scripture impact your life? For instance, I will give you one that is very, very simple, and it's very, very good though. You ready? Psalm 1. It says, don't walk, don't stand, and don't sit with the seat of scoffers. And as you read that passage, man, that really causes you to go, wait a minute, that causes me to think about the company that I'm keeping with. It doesn't mean that we don't hang out with them. I mean, if we don't hang out with unbelievers, then who's going to share the gospel with them? It just, what impact is the world really having on my life? Because then it says that you and I, our lives should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It should be constantly an evergreen, constantly producing fruit. Is that my life? God, am I producing fruit daily for you? Man, that's convicting, y'all. I don't want to be the one, as verse 6, like that tumbleweed that's just blown about. No, I want to be like that tree planted by the river of life. I want to be planted and founded in the truth of God's word. What action or attitude is God calling you to embrace? Have we ever thought about that? That's like looking in the mirror and seeing something wrong and then not doing nothing about it. You see, what happens is it becomes humbling because God is right and you are wrong. And we don't like to be told that. I do not like to be told that. Okay? Y'all don't either, I promise you. But man, to hear the truth of God's word being spoken, and the Spirit of God is, man, the Spirit of God is moving within our life, and the Spirit of God is revealing those things that need to be dealt with. And at that moment, you know what? We've paused long enough to think about that. How about an alt with a brother or sister in Christ? Man, you get to the part in the passage where it says, Father, forgive me my debts Father, let me forgive others as the way you forgive me. Do you forgive people that way? See, a lot of times we can go, well, we're human. We can't do that, Pastor Scott. Okay, well, is that how you want God to treat you? No, I want God to forgive. I don't want Him to remember those sins of my life. I want Him to forgive completely, not hold anything. So why can't we live that way? Well, because there's pride. That means we'll have to go to someone and ask someone for forgiveness. And asking for forgiveness is not easy, y'all. That is very tough. So we see then there's this talk with God, prayer with God. We're responding to what we've read. It's something about responding to things that we've read. Respond from your heart to what God is saying. And then lastly, there is that word, contemplatio. All right, rest. We're to rest. Rest and wait patiently in the presence of God as you give God's Spirit time to work in your life. I love this morning. It was so fun to hear that the middle school girls beat the high school girls in their Sunday school Jeopardy. All right. Ain't nothing better than a couple of middle school girls getting busy. Right. Next, we're going. Hey, next, we're coming to the adult classes. Y'all just hide yourself. OK, so rock on. All right. So in doing so, though, they love to talk about timelines. In the middle school class, Melanie and I were talking about this. And in doing so, we're reminded of things like Abraham waiting 25 years for his son. See, when we read the scriptures, we automatically goes, well, that was like, we don't see time. We don't see, but wait a minute. If we just pause and get that historic, we see that patience is a good thing. Patiently waiting upon the Lord, letting God speak to us through His word. Waiting for an answer from God instead of just reacting. And then maybe 3 weeks down the road, there's a scripture that God lays upon our heart and we go, man, I wish I'd have waited for that one. If there's one thing that the pastor has taught me well, is patience. Pastor has done a fabulous job of teaching me this one thing. Scott, let's pray about it. Don't react, just pray. Okay, Pastor, I got you. And then you're ready? And then it's amazing to see how if we will just do those things according to the truths of God's word, how and when God moves. And then you step back and you go, wow, isn't that amazing that I didn't get in front of God, that I allow God to move and react and do the way that God would want instead of me making a mess of it and then God having to fix my mess. That's Abraham. He did it, y'all. David, he did it. Entrust your past, your present and your future to the Lord in light of what He has spoken. Ask the Lord to continue to do this transforming work throughout the day. Could you imagine, Lord God, as I've read this passage, God, continue to change me all day long. Now listen, but let me tell you how I was growing up, okay? This is how I was. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we were very holy. Very holy. But Monday, it wasn't that. Listen, I had a wonderful home life. I got a wonderful mom and dad. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. My mom and dad took me to church. My mom and dad taught me the good, the bad, and the ugly. My mom and dad, listen, I'm so thankful for my mom and dad, all right? But on Monday, we would just flip on the radio station and listen to, I don't know, country music, or we'd listen to rock music, or we'd listen to 97.3, which was just easy to listen. All right. Rarely did we talk much about that of the scriptures, rarely, but Wednesday come. Wednesday was a good night. Oh, yes, and then Sunday. Sunday was wonderful. And then we'd have the week of revival. Man, that was a week of holiness. It was good. But my next week should have looked just like my revival week, but it didn't, because I thought the only time that we was to do these things were at church. See, what we've got to do is realize that as we're reading the Word of God, that this is a daily 24/7 thing. This isn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is a life. The Christian walk is a daily 24/7 walk. And if it is a 24/7 walk, then guess what we need? We need the Spirit of God. We need God's guidance. We want it, we need it. How many of y'all, are you ready? You rely on your GPS heavenly. I mean, like, you're like, I'm on it all the time. Yeah, see, so for me, okay, I'm a GPS lover, all right? And if my GPS ain't working, now I can get from here to the house. That's not what I'm talking about. Please don't think poorly of me. But we've come accustomed to needing that. Immediately, as soon as we get in the car, hey, I'll tell you this, if you're traveling from Charlotte to up this area anyway whatsoever, you'd be a wise individual to have the app Waze. And that way you can see if there's a wreck, if you can get there before, and see, it tells you it's 3 hours before you can get there. And you're like, I'm going to go a different route. See, you do use it. You use guidance from that. Man, if we would just lean that much more on that of the Word of God. And believe that the Spirit of God, do you know that the people that run the Waze app is people you don't even know? It's just random people, y'all. They're the ones telling you that there's an accident. There's the one that telling you there's a cop around the corner. It's just people you don't even know. We know the Spirit. The Spirit knows us, or should. Man, we really need to lean heavy on that of the guidance of God's Word. Questions? Comments? Yeah, see, praise God. Until you lose your satellite cell service, and then you're like, where do I go now? Yes.
But it was good.
Amen.
I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
We were talking about when a person who doesn't know Christ, are they not a Christian? And we were going through the yes, yes, and the no.
Yeah.
On that one, you said there was an Ephesians.
Yeah, there's Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, verses 1 through 3, that's okay. The children of unbeliever, the children of disobedience. Yes.
Okay,
yeah. Questions? Questions. Listen, the one part that I had to grapple with multiple times was the part where, whoops, not that one. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Oh, no. Pastor Scott. Was that one right there? Okay. I just want you to understand, as I go back to that one more time, I'm just saying that the Spirit doesn't just give it to you through osmosis. The Word of God is very plain, that you and I are to be students of the Word. There's work involved when it comes to. So you got to open the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Now, it is the Spirit of God that does provide us what we need, but it's through our work. We must put effort into it as well. Okay? Everybody good? I'm still taking my glasses off to pray. It's so weird. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Word. God, I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that the Spirit is the one that guides us into all truth. Lord, it is the one that moved through the men, Lord, those authors of your Word, Lord, to tell them what to write. Lord, and so therefore, with you being the author, then Lord, why would we not want the author to tell us what the meaning, and Lord, what is the intent? And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, may we be ones that are looking daily. We long for those days just to sit down and let our brain just stop. And Lord, to be able just to find some quiet. Open your Word. Lord, read your Word. Lord, ask the questions. What does this have an impact in my life? Where does my life need to change in order to relate to this? Lord, just praying it back. Lord, reminding you of the truth of that of your Word. Lord, we know you're an all-knowing God, but Lord, we are not. And so God, I'm thankful that you're a, You're a sovereign God. Lord, I'm thankful that you know my tomorrow. And Lord, I lean on that, Lord, in knowing the goodness of my Father. But Lord, we need to be students of your word. Lord, we need to know how we navigate those daily activities, those daily parts of our lives, in believing that, yes, Lord, you're in control. But God, I want to remain in your will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the will of you, Father. Be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody to my heart and giving thanks for all things. God, let that be our heart's desire as you lead us to the truths of your word. Lord, we love you. In all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.